Today's daf is Chulin daf Ayin Aleph, and we are 8 lines from the bottom of daf Ayin Amid Beis. So the Mishnah on the top of daf Ayin Amid Beis brought a machloikis Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi Aglili regarding someone who sticks his hand into the rechem of a behemoth. There was an uber inside the rechem. The uber was dead. We know that a dead animal, in addition to being asa b'achila, because of nevela, also is tame and is metama. And the question is, this uber who died, b'mei ima, is it tame tumas nevela, or is it not tame tumas nevela? The Tanakhama said that it doesn't matter if the behemah is a behemah tahara, or if the behemah is a behemah tameya, the uber does not have the ability to be metama. Rabbi Yisrael Glili argued, and he said, b'tameya tame, or b'tahara tahara. It depends on the animal. If the animal was a kosher animal, such as a cow, then the halacha is, the uber will not be tame. If, however, the animal was a non-kosher animal, such as a chazer, then the halacha is, the uber is tame. Thus, if somebody touches the uber of a behemoth tahara, he's going to be tar. If somebody touches the uber of a behemoth tameya, he's going to be tame. And the Gemara had a detailed discussion as to my time of the Tanakhama and my time of the Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Tanakhama, said Rav Chisda, based his position primarily on a Kal V'chaymer. And the Kal V'chaymer is really the context of Perek Behema Makasha, which is why this Mishnah is mentioned right here in Perek Behema Makasha. That is, the halacha is that if somebody shechts a behema, and we find that afterwards there was an uber inside the behema, so the shechita of the mother helps for the uber. So said Rav Chisda, Madoch, the shechita of the mother is ho'ila. It works to be matah the uber la'achila. Then certainly the halacha has to be that if the mother's tahar, it should work to be metaher the uber as well. If the mother could be matar the child ba'achila, then certainly the mother should have the ability to be metaher the child as well. Thus, even though the child is an avela, but the mother's not an avela, so the mother's tahar. If the mother's tahar, it should be metaher the uber. Said Rav Chisda, that only works with regards to a behemah tahara, which, if you would shecht, would be tahar, and the vlad inside would be mutter b'achil as well. Thus, you have the building block to establish the kal v'chaymer. But a behemoth tmei is never mutter b'achil anyways. So you can't say kal v'chaymer im ho'ilo imer latir b'achil lo'y toyer lo'y lo'toyer medein avela. Says the Gemara, you have to add a second piece to the Tanakhama, and that is a pasuk in Parsha Shmini, Vayikra Perik Yedal, pasuk lamites. It says v'chiyomus mena behema, and then it says asha hilochem lo'achla hanegeh ben avlas yidmad da'arif. A pasuk what the pasuk saying is that if somebody touches a dead behema tahira, a behema asher hi lochem la'achla, a behema tahira, the halacha is he's going to be tamei tumas nevela. But stating that, the Gemara darshan v'chiyamus mina behema is referring to behema tmeya. Asher hi lochem la'achla is referring to behema tahira. We have a hekesh between a behema tmeya and a behema tahira. Just like a behema tahira, the halacha is its v'uber is not tamei tumas nevela as long as it's bimei imai. So too, the halacha is going to be with regards to behema tmeya. Either way, time of the Tanakh is based on two things. Number one, a kal v'chaymer. Number two, a hekish, a pasuk tucked away in Parashat Shmini. My time with Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili's shita, the Gemara says, not based on two things, but the maskana the Gemara came out is based on three things. Number one, Rabbi Yossi Aglili agrees with the kal v'chaymer of Chisda, and that's where Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds ubet tahira tahar, that behema tahira that has an uber that dies inside of it, if you touch the uber, you're going to be tar. And the reason is because kal v'chaymer im ho'ilo imer latira b'achila loy tayir loy tayir medein nevela. Now obviously Rabbi Yossi Aglili doesn't hold to the second part of the Tanakhama. He doesn't hold to the hekish, because if he held to the hekish, then just like b'tahira tahar, b'tameya would also be tar. Rabbi Yossi Aglili argues he holds b'tameya tame. How does he know b'tameya tame? So the Gemara said it's really based on two psukim. The first one is in Vayikra Perik Yud Aleph Pasuk Chav Zayin, also in Parsha Shmini. The pasuk says v'chol hilich al kapa b'chol achayah ha'ilechas al arba, which the Gemara darshan to mean hilich al kapa is a behemah tmeya. It's b'chol achayah, it's inside another chayah ha'ilechas al arba, which is also behemah tmeya. Why is ha'ilechas al arba a tameh? Because it means that it doesn't have split hooves. The point is a tmeya inside a tmeya is going to be tameh. The Gemara said that almost teaches me Shitas Rabbi Yossi Aglili. In fact, it teaches me every single behemah tameya inside a tameya, with the exception of the chazer b'chazirta. How then does Rabbi Yosi Aglili put it all together? What's his makar that even the chazer inside the chazirta is going to be tamei? He learns it from a third drasha, and that is in Parshas Vayikra, in the context of the Karban Oila V'yoyre, where the halach is that if somebody's tamei and he enters the Beis HaMikdash where he eats kachem, he has to bring a special karban, and the Torah within describes how he became tamei. And the Torah says that he came in contact with a behema tmeya. The question is, why does it have to be a behema tmeya? It could have been a behema tahira as well. It's coming to teach me that there's some chiddush in behema tmeya that you don't have in behema tahira, and that's the uber inside the behema tmeya is tamei, the uber inside the behema tahira is not tahar. And that is again a makar that bitmeya tame ubitayra tar. The Gemara said if you have the second pasuk, what do you need the first pasuk? And the Gemara answered that at the end of yesterday's daf. The bottom line is the Tanakama holds that an uber that dies bimei imoy is always going to be tahar. Bein bebehema tmeya, bein bebehema tayra. It's based on a kalvachomer and a hekish and a pasuk of Pasha Shmini, two of the yudgum amidash atayra in the dresher's band. Rabbi Yitzchak Levi says, no, bitmeya tame ubitahayra tar. It's based on three things. Number one, the Kal V'chomer. Number two, a pasuk in Parashas Shmini. Another pasuk in Parashas Vayikra. Either way, with that brief recap, Zok de Gemara Tanya. Omer Rabbi Yonason. Rabbi Yonason said, Namti loy leben Azai. I had the following conversation with Ben Azai. So every now and again, the Gemara takes us behind the scenes and gives us a little bit of insight to the exchange and how exactly the Tanaim conversed and learning. This is such an example. So Rabbi Yonason says that I was once talking and learning with Manasseh, and I asked him the following question. I said, "Lamadnu nivlas behema tahira shematama." There's a pasuk in the Torah that says clearly that the nevela of a behema tahira is tameh. What's the pasuk? It's one of the pesukim we mentioned this morning. V'chiyamus mena behema ashehi lochem laachla hanigay b'nevlas yidma da'ar. We're talking about a behema tahira. It says clearly ashehi lochem laachla, and it says if somebody touches nevela, he's going to be tameh ad da'arif. Parsha Shmini, Perik Yeral of pasuk lamates. We also know v'nivlas behema tmeya she mitamo and nivlas chaya tmeya she mitamo. How do you know those? You know that from Parshas Vayikra, another one of the psukim we mentioned this morning. Oy nefesh ashetiga b'chol dover tamei, oy benivlas chaya tamei, oy benivlas behema tamei. So clearly, chaya tamei and behema tamei. But what Rabbi Yonason told Ben Azai was, chaya toira loy lamadno. But there's no pasuk anywhere in the Torah where it says mefurish that if somebody touches the nevela, the dead carcass of a chaya tahira, of a kosher chaya, that is going to be tamei. So I know the chaya tmeya, I know the behemoth tmeya, I know the behemoth tmeya. What's missing? The chaya tmeya, he said, manayim, namlis. Rabbi Anderson said, the Ben Azai told me that you know from the following pasuk, it says, kol hoylech al kapa b'chol achaya ha-hoyleches. That's the third pasuk that we mentioned this morning. It says over there, kol hoylech al kapa b'chol achaya. And Ben Azai darshan b'chol achaya, every single chaya. Every single chaya, doesn't matter if it's tar or it's tar, meaning even if it's tar, once it dies, it's going to be tumas levelo. Namti lois, Rabbi Yonason said, that I told Ben Azai, v'chi nemar v'chol chaya, v'aloi loi nemar elo b'chol chaya. There's no vav, there's a beis. What does it mean? It means, v'mahalche kapayim b'chaya huda asa. Like Rabbi Yosi Aglili Darshan, it's coming to teach me not every chaya, but an animal that's bichol chaya inside an animal, an uber bimei imay, that's tamei, it's tamei, tumas nevela, if it's a tamei inside a tamei, etc., 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 everything that we discuss. Nam lis, Rabbi Shmo, so Reb. Then as I told Rabbi Yonason, Umay Yishmol Oimer B'davazes. Rabbi Yonason was a Talmud of Rabbi Yishmol. So he said, I hear Rabbi Yonason. You're saying very good. So did you hear anything from your Rebbe? Your grace the Rebbe, Rabbi Yishmol. Namti lois, Rabbi Yonason said, I told him as follows. I'll tell you exactly what I heard from my Rebbe. It says, V'chiyomis mena behema, zu behema tmeya, ashehi lochem lo achla, zu behema tehoira. Okay. And lo madnu chaya b'chal behema, u behema b'chal chaya. It's true. You don't have a mefurish apostate that tells me that a nevela of a chaya tehoira is going to be tamei. But you know what I do know? I do know that the nevela of a behema tehoira is going to have tumas nevela and chaya b'chal mehel. So wherever the Torah says the word behema, it can include chaya. So once I know behema Torah, I know chaya Torah as well. And by the way, wherever it says chaya, it includes behema as well. Lomadnu chaya b'chal behema, behema b'chal chaya. But as it relates to answering this question, once I know behema Torah, I know chaya Torah as well. And he continued, did Rabbi Yonason saying what he heard from his Rebbe, Rabbi Yishmael. Chaya tahira b'chal behema tahira. Chaya tmeya b'chal behema tmeya. Behema tmeya b'chal chaya tmeya. Behema tahira b'chal chaya tahira. The bottom line, it doesn't matter. Tomei tahira, tahira tomei. Chaya is always b'chal behema. Behema is always b'chal tahira. Therefore, if I know behema tahira has tumas nevela, I know chaya tahira is going to have tumas nevela as well. Says the Gemara. Rabbi Yonason is recounting. He said, after I told this to Ben Azai, u'belosh an Azai amali. You know, Ben Azai told me chaval al Ben Azai shalei shemesh is Rabbi Yishmael. He says, wow, I didn't realize how gevaldig Rabbi Shmuel is. Wow, he could say such a drasha. Right, Rabbi Shmuel, I'm here. Rabbi Shmuel is the Mara the Shmaitza when it comes to old drashas. But Rabbi Shmuel, he said, I didn't realize. And it's such a chaval. Had I known, I would have been mishamish Rabbi Shmuel. I would have spent more time going to shiurim, hearing from him, learning from him, because I realized how much I could have learned from Rabbi Shmuel just from the way he so beautifully explained the makar. How you know that the nevela of a chayat tahira is also going to be tummy. We'll get back to this one. Says the Gemara, it sounds like from the way Rabbi Yonason said over in the name of Rabbi Shmuel that everything he mentioned had implications la locha. Meaning, chayat tahira is bechal behemet tahira, nafkamina la locha. Chayat meya bechal behemet meya, nafkamina la locha. Behemet meya bechal chayat meya, nafkamina la locha. And a behemet tahira bechal chayat tahira. Again, nafkamina la locha. So says the Gemara, what are all these nafkaminas la locha? Chay bechal behemet minol. First of all, how do you know chayat bechal behemet? Dechsiv zoyis abe masha toichlu, shor, sek, sovim, vegoyme, ayotsu viachmer. Torah talks about the kosher animals. Remember in Parashas Re, the Torah lists 10 kosher animals. It starts with Zoysa Behema, and then it mentions 3 Behemas and 7 Chayas. So it's talking about Behemas. Why are you mentioning Chayas? Oh, Chay must be Bechal Behem. Okay, it's a Chay Bechal Behem. Behema Bechal Chay Behem. How do you know Behemas Bechal Behem? So this is a pasuk in Parashas Shmini. Again, where the Torah talks about the kosher animals. And then the Torah mentions the simonim of the kosher animals. And it says, Zoysa Chaya, Shetoychum, Michal, Behema, Asher, Al, Earth, Komafresis, Parasa. It starts off Zoysa Chaya, and then it talks about the simonim of a kosher behemah. Okay, it said, behemah b'chal chay. So it must be behemah b'chal chay. Okay, so you know chay b'chal behemah, behemah b'chal chay. And it doesn't matter, tomei tahar. And we said there must be nafkaminas la'alocha in all these different examples. What are those nafkaminas? That's going to take us to the Mishnah. Chayat tahar b'chal behemah tahar. What's the nafkamina? That a chayat tahar is included in behemah tahar. The simonim. The Torah mentions the simonim of behemah tahar. The Torah doesn't mention the simonim of chayat tahar. What are the simonim of chayat tahar? You know how you know if a behemah is a behemah tahir? My friend says Paris and Malas Geir. How do you know if a chay is a chay tahir? Oh, chay is b'chal behemah. So whatever a kosher simon is for a behemah tahir, that's going to be the kosher simon for the chay tahir as well. Chayat meya b'chal behemah tahir. What's it negeya lahalacha that a chayat meya is included when the Torah refers to a behemet meh, harva? It's negeya the halacha of kelayim. The Torah says behemtecha leisavir kelayim. And it's important to know that that's not only behema; it's going to be chay as well, chayat meya even. Says the Gemara, behema tmeya bechal chayat meya. Where's an ageya that when the Torah says chaya and referring to a chayat meya, it can mean behema tmeya as well? Look at the Rebbe, the Tanya. We learned to the Brisa. Rebbe, I mean, Rebbe says ekra ni chaya behema lama nemra. So he's referring back to the pasuk in Parshas Vayikra. This is a little bit tricky. So again, the pasuk that talked about the carbon oil of a yoyred. It said, "Oy nefesh asher tiga bechol dover tame, oy benivlas chaya tameya, oy benivlas behema tameya, oy benivlas sheretz tame." V'nelami menuvu tame v'yashen. That's again Parshas Vayikra, the parsha of carbon oil of a yoyred. Specifically, the Tumas Mikdash V'Kodesh. The Rebbe was bothered with a kasha. That once it says Chaya in that pasuk, that if somebody touches a Chaya Tameya, he becomes Tamei, and the laws of Tumas Mikdash V'Kodesh apply, why did Torah have to mention Behema? Isn't Behema Bechal Chaya? Meaning, so once it says Chaya, I know Behema. So Behema Lama Nemra. So said Rebbe as follows. Nemra Kam Behema Tameya. It says Behema Tameya. V'Nemra Lahalam Behema Tameya. And it says Behema Tameya somewhere else. Ma Lahalam Tumas Kodesh. Avkan Tumas Kodesh. Where's the somewhere else? Rashi says that's in Parshas Emor, and over there, the Torah says that if somebody is Tame, he came in contact with a behemoth Tame, and he eats kachim, he's going to be chayiv kars. The reason the Torah wrote the word behemoth Tame here as well is to be able to have extra words in a pasuk, Zereshava Mufna, to make Zereshava between Parashas Vayikra and Parashas Emor, that just like in Parashas Emor, when the person was Tame, he ate kachim, so to hear this pasuk is describing someone that's Tame that ate kachim. What's the explanation in this Gemara. Because the truth is, as much as this Pasuk, we keep on saying, Vayikra Perek Hei Pasuk Beis, is referring to someone that's Tameh, and he was guilty of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav, it actually doesn't say anywhere in the Torah anything about Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. Read the Pasuk. A nefesh asher tikah b'chol davar Tameh, it doesn't matter how the Tumah happened, v'nela mimenu, v'hu Tameh v'asher. What was the Aveira? Sounds like maybe the Aveira is he became Tameh. It doesn't mention Tumas Mikdash V'Kadosh. How do you know it's talking about Tumas Mikdash V'Kadosh? The Rebbe said it's only because of Gzeirus Shavt. The Gzeirus Shavt, it says Behemet Meya, it says there Behemet Meya, there it's Tumas Mikdash V'Kadosh. Here too it's Tumas Mikdash V'Kadosh. But I need the words Behemet Meya to establish Gzeirus Shavt. So it really didn't have to say Behemet Meya. You want to know why it said Behemet Meya? To teach me this halacha, that the parsha of Oyla V'Yoyret related to Tumah, mentioned in Parashas Vayikra, is talking about Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. How do I know that? I only know that because Behemah Tameya is included in Chaya Tameya. This is a little counterintuitive. If Behemah Tameya was not included in Chaya Tameya, then the words Behemah Tameya wouldn't be extra. I wouldn't know this halacha that the Oyla V'Yoyret is only Negei Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. So you want to know L'may Nafgamina Behemah B'chal Chaya? It's Negei Oyla V'Yoyret Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. Huh? Yeah, because being that Behemah is B'chal Tameya, so the words Behemah Tameya are extra to teach me the Gzeirah Shavah, and that's how I know how to understand this pasuk. Parashas Vayikra, Gevaldik. Either way, says the Gemara, Behemah Tameya B'chal Chaya. What's that Negei? That a behemah tmeir is included in chayat early yitzira. The time we learned to the Mishnah, Mepeles min behemah. The context over there is a woman that has a baby. She's a yoledes. She's tamei. Psukim in the beginning of Parshas Tazria. Zachar Nekeva 3366. Yimei tumei, yimei tmeir. What happens if a woman miscarries? So depending on the stage of the fetus at the time of the miscarriage, that would determine whether it'd be tumah or there wouldn't be tumah. The context over there is a woman miscarried a child and clearly was in its early stages, and the child, the uber, had the tsura of a behema or a chaya or an oif. That wasn't a behema, chaya or oif, but it had the tsura of a behema, chaya or oif. So it says the Mishnah, Mapelas, a woman that miscarries min behema, chaya or oif, beit mei mein tahirim, im zachar teshet lezachar, nekeva teshet lezachar. That the halacha is you treat it as if it was a regular child. Zachar, you're going to follow the laws of tumah v'tahira of a zachar. Nekeva, you're going to follow the laws of tumah v'tahira of a nekeva. In your dua, let's say you don't know if it was a zachar or a nekeva. So then the halacha is teshet lezachar ul nekeva divir amei. The Chachamim say, Kol she'ena mitzuras Adam, ena v'lat. If it doesn't have a tzuras Adam, it's not considered a v'lat. Now, what's Pshat in Reb Meir? Pshat in Reb Meir is that the tzura of a chaya is also considered a tzura. Because the pasuk says, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim en ha'adama, kol chayas hasadam. Okay, that's good for a tzuras chaya. What about tzuras behema? Ah, the terrors is behema is b'chal chaya. So you want to know where it's negeya that a behema Torah is b'chal chaya tahira? It's negeya that when the Torah says, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim en Adama, kol chayas asada, parashas vayikra, it didn't only mean chaya. It says chaya. Yeah, but behemah is b'chal chaya, meant behemah as well. What's the nafgamina l'alacha? How to understand the pasuk in the beginning of parashas Breishis, it talks about the soid of the Bria, but what does it have to do with halacha? No, it has a big nafkumin halacha, Rav Meir Shita, that a woman that miscarries a child that looks like a chaya, because the Torah used the word vayitzer to describe a chaya, it therefore triggers the laws of tumah v'tahira. The same is going to be true by behema. I never said vayitzer by behema. It said vayitzer by chaya, and behema is bechlal chaya. Either way, so we had the nafkumin halacha for all the four examples. Examples of chay b'chal behema, behema b'chal chaya. Doesn't matter if it's a tmeya and a tmeya, or if it's a tahira or a tahira. Either way, so we had a machloikis, the Tanakama and Rabbi Yose Haglili. Tanakama said that behema shemeis uber b'toich meyea, bein tmeya bein tahira tahar. Rabbi Yose Haglili said b'tmeya tame uber tahira tahar. Rabbi Yose Haglili based his position specifically that b'tmeya tame on Rav Chisda's Kal V'Chomer, a drasha in a pasuk in Parsha Shmini, and then a drasha in a pasuk in Parshas Vayikra, in the Parsha of Karban Oyla V'Yoyre. It says the Gemara Ula Rabbanon, according to the Rabbanon, who argue with Rabbi Yosei Haglili, also known as the Tanakhama in our Mishnah, Daf Ayin Amud Beis, Haikra Lamali. What do they do with the pasuk in Parshas Vayikra? How are they going to dash in the pasuk in Parshas Vayikra, which seem to tell me that the halacha is that a tmeya, besoich tmeya, is going to be tamei? Where did you see that in the pasuk? Because the Torah emphasized that in the case of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav, the person that became tamei by coming in contact with a davar tamei. Why does he have to come in contact with a davar tamei? He could come in contact with a davar tahar as well. We just said that even a davar tahar Even a behemoth Torah, a chaya Torah, once it dies, it's metama. So why the pasuk emphasizes that? Must be there's a time where a behemoth tmeya could be metama tumas nevela, and a behemoth Torah cannot be metama tumas nevela. What's that taste? The uber. So how did the rabbanon answer? The rabbanon hold that the uber, even of a behemoth tmeya, is going to be tar. So the gemara says, "Kulu k'the Rebbe who the us." So that whole drasha is coming for Rebbe. Which Rebbe? So at the end of yesterday's daf, we said we're going to wait for today. We got it. So what it means is this Rebbe that said that the reason the Torah mentioned the word behemoth tmeya is to establish the gzeirah shava between behemoth tmeya and parshas vayikra, behemoth tmeya and parshas emor, so that I know how to understand that parsha. The point is that really the Torah could have mentioned behemoth Torah, but had it said behemoth Torah, I went to gzeirah shava. So the Torah had to mention behemoth tmeya. Why then did the Torah mention chaya tmeya? Could it not have said chaya tahira? So Rashi asks the kasha. Rashi gives an answer. Either way, excel. So just before we go weiter, one ha'ara, and that is, so the Gemara mentioned an exchange between Rabbi Yonason and Ben Azai, where they were discussing what's the makar that the nevel of a chaya tahira is tameh, that there's tumas nevel. The Torah says it mefurish by a behemah tahira. It says it mefurish by a behemah tmeh and a chaya tmeh. But the Torah never said it by a chaya tahira. Ben Azai apparently didn't know, and Rabbi Yonason said, "I'll tell you what I heard from my Rebbe, Rabbi Yishmael." And the Gemara concludes, "A belosh and Azai Omali Chavalo Ben Azai Shloishimish is Rabbi Yishmael." If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, "What's the Chaval al Ben Azai Shloi Shimeish Rabbi Yishmael?" Says Rashi that Ben Azai, where is it? Zok Rashi, Hefsit v'chavolo hi ba'ilo. Talmud vosik kamoisi, ani ben Azai. Shelo yishimashli es Rabbi Yishmael. Ben Azai commented, and he said, not just chaval li, but hefsit v'chavolo hi ba'ilo. It's a tremendous hefsit to the world that a Talmud vosik kamoisi, ani ben Azai, shelo yishimashli es Rabbi Yishmael. What a loss that I had because I wasn't Mishamish Rabbi Yishmael. Chaim Shmulevitz and his sichos many times quotes this Gemara, and he says that if you think about it, it's unbelievable. Who was Ben Azai? Ben Azai was considered amongst the Tanon as amongst the greatest. The Gemara says in Mechayrus Daf and Chesam and Aleph, Kol Chachmi Yisrael Doimin Olai Keklipas Hashom. Ben Azai said this. He said, Kol Chachmi Yisrael, to me, they were Keklipas Hashom. They're like the shells of garlic. Literally, that's what he felt. He felt that he was so much greater than I'm learning. Ben Azai never got married. Ben Azai said, "Ma esesh and nafshi chashki b'toyra," and they named the host of Kotan and Shulchan Aruch after Ben Azai. Evan Ezer Simon Aleph, right in the beginning, where if someone is mamish nafshi chashki b'toyra ki Ben Azai, he doesn't have to get married. He's potter from the mitzvah peruvu. Ben Azai couldn't. He said, "It's not shaykh. He was an oynis rachmana patre." He said, "Vozolich ton. I have such a geshmak in learning." Ma esesh and nafshi chashki b'toyra. The Gemara says in Masechta Soita that Abaye used to say, "Hareini ki Ben Azai b'shukei tferi." There was one day in the year where Abaye felt that his learning was so clear that he had such a behirus, a tzilusa de shmeitza. He said, "Today I feel like Ben Azai." And he said, "If anybody wants to ask me a question, today's the day. I'm going to give you an answer." And the Gemara said they would come and they would ask him questions. Hareini ki Ben Azai b'shukei tferi. Ben Azai was the paradigm of a goyin in learning. Someone who had reached unbelievable madrigas. Kol chachmi Yisrael doimin alike eklipas Hashem. So what made Ben Azai so great? Because what did Ben Azai say? He heard one Memra from Rabbi Yishmael, and he said, "Chaval al Ben Azai Shloishimish is Rabbi Yishmael." That chuka, that cheshek, that Ben Azai had of Chaval al Ben Azai Shloishimish is Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz Kedarko said that when Ben Azai said, "Kol Chachmi Yisrael Doimin Alike Eklipas Hashem," Kol Chachmi Yisrael included Rabbi Yishmael, right? And he must have known who Rabbi Yishmael was, otherwise he couldn't have said that. So obviously he included Rabbi Yishmael. He was from the great Chachmi Yisrael. So Ben Azai was much greater than Rabbi Yishmael. He wasn't saying Rabbi Yishmael was greater than me. He knew he was great. He said it himself. Kol chachmi yisrael doimin alike eklipas Hashem. But he still felt there was something to learn from Rabbi Yishmael, and that chuka, that unbelievable desire to grow. The name of one of the sikhs, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, talks about this, is achiv les alois. This is just unbelievable. Chashivas for every dover caught in a learning. Either way, that's the first aura. The second aura, we have a little bit of time, and that is that, so we mentioned many times this week, Shitas Reb Shimon, right? It came up several times here in the beginning of Perek Behema Amikasha, and that is if a para gives birth to a kalat. A para has split hooves, it's a kosher animal. What happens if it gives birth to a baby, and that baby, para, has closed hooves, not split hooves. Is it going to be kosher or not kosher? The Chum Sheet is, it's going to be kosher. Stating that is the Sheetas Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon says, Kolot B'mei Par is going to be Aser. And the truth is, at first glance, it's Sarach Bir. Right, why should it be Aser? At the end of the day, its mother is a para. If its mother is a para, it's a kosher animal. L'chaira. So if it's a kosher animal, why just because it was born with hooves that are not split, should it be Tameh? So the rugged Shavuot Goyin, and Sofnas Paneach said, you know what the pshat is? The Chakira Hayudua. We spoke at the Chakira many times in Perek Eilu Treifas. And that is, what is the reason that an animal that's Mafreses Parsa and is Malaskera is Tahar? Are the simonim of a behema Tahira a Siba why they're Tahar? Or is only a simon that it is tar? Meaning, is there something intrinsic about having split hooves and being malas gera that in the olamos somehow makes the animal kosher? Or they don't make the animal kosher, they're just our way of knowing of what's kosher and non-kosher. What makes something kosher? I don't know. But the point is how are we supposed to know? So the Torah gave us a simon. The Torah said, if it's my fresh aspirin, it's malas gera, that's your way of knowing, that's your simon that it's a kosher animal. Are they a siba? Are they the reason that it's kosher? Are they a simon? And the same is true for the fish. A fish that has snapper with kaskasis is kosher. Are the simonim a siba or a simon? Or the oif, which is much more complicated. Are the simonim in a diris? You can peel off the cork of it, etc. Are they sibas? Why is star or a simonim? Or what about the grasshoppers? All the simonim tire that you find in the end of Parsha Shmini that the Gemara discusses in the Teresh Malpen, the end of Perakei with Trefis. Are these sibas or are these simonim? So the Rugger of a guy and said, what's the nafkamina? He said, what's the nafkamina? Why does it matter? What's the nafkamina of the Sibra Tzim? It's very geshmak and lomdus. We spoke at the Rambam with Machal Sasuras, where the Rambam says, if there's a loisa say for the gomel, the shafan, the nefes, and the chazir, which only have one, which have one of the two simonim, kalva chaymer, there's going to be a loisa say for the animals that don't have any of the simonim. He says, kolshkein, kalva chaymer, ayay mazir menadin. That's what the Magen Mishnah says, his famous Yusai, that there's no problem with mazir menadin in that case. The problem, what's the kolshkein? He said, why is it a kalva chaymer? They're both not kosher. So he said, if the simonim are a sibo, that means it's actually possible to be a little bit kosher. Right? Could you be a little kosher? Is it possible something to be a shtickle kosher? Right? I don't mean bal nefesh yachmer. Could it be a shtickle kosher? Is that even a possibility? The answer is, it's totally in this love this. If the simonim are a sibo, then maybe yeah. So I have one of the two sibois. I don't have both sibois. If they're a simon, then either you have the simon or you don't have the simon. I have half the simon at the end of the day. I'm the same not kosher as if I wouldn't have any of the simon. The Rambam seemed to establish a koshke. In the Rambam's koshke, just spun a little bit differently, the Rambam seems to be saying that an animal that has no kosher simonim is less kosher than the chazir is not the most, even though it's the paradigm of the non-kosher animal, it's actually not the most unkosher animal. Because a chazir has one of the two simonim. So the chazir, the gomel, the shafin, and the nefes are a shtickle not kosher. I mean, at the end of the day, can't eat it, and there's malchus, etc. But at the end of the day, it's only a shtickle not kosher. Kosher is something that's not kosher. But that's all in the world of lamdis. That's all geshmat. But halacha l'maisa, does it matter if it's a siba? Or if it's a simon, said the Ragat Shavagoyan, I'll tell you the nafkamina. What happens if a kosher animal that's mafreses parsa, it's malaskera, gives birth to an animal that's kolot? That's not mafreses parsa. Will that baby now be kosher or not kosher? If the simonim are a siba, so said the tzofnas paneach, chayr doesn't have the simon. If it doesn't have the simon, it's good. But if the simonim are a simon, that means the simonim are just our way of knowing what's a kosher animal. What's a kosher species? We know the par is a kosher animal. Why? Because the par is my fresh parsa, malas geir. Punkt. I just found a favor from a parah that's kolot. It's very nice, but it doesn't change what I know about the min parah. So at the end of the day, if the par is a kosher animal, it's going to be kosher. Said the Ragach of a Goyin, that this sheet is Rav Shimon, who holds kolot mimei para, is going to be tameh. You know what the pshat is? Because he held that the simonim are a siba. I mean that the simonim are a siba, that's why it's going to be tameh. If the simonim are a simon, that doesn't make sense. At the end of the day, we know it's kosher. Para is a kosher animal. Punkt that doesn't have split hooves. But that's only if the split hooves is a punkt. But if it's the siba, it's the reason why it's tar. Then kamuvan said the Ragach of a guy, a kolot mimei para is going to be tameh. We mentioned last week that the Ragach of a said that there's a chilek Siba Simin, between an animal and between a knife. Why? By an animal, the Torah mentions the Simani Torah. By a knife, the Torah doesn't mention the Simani Torah. The Torah says you're allowed to eat a tzipa, and then the Torah mentions 24, example 20, 21, 22, 24, 26, right? All the chesbonos of Pashtus, it's 24 birds that you're not allowed to eat. And we learned similar to the Nesha, but the Torah never mentioned what the Simani Torah are. Like, why not? Says the Ragach of the Givaldi. By a behemoth tzipa, that's why the Torah mentioned it. By a knife, it's only Simin. See, fair enough. He said, that's why, even though you find Rabbi Shimon Shita, that Rabbi Shimon holds Kolot Bimei Para is going to be tummy, only fired by a behemoth. You don't find such a Rabbi Shimon anywhere in Shas with regards to a knife. He says, it's Bediktuk Gadol. He says, you want to know why he said it by a behemoth, not by a knife? Because by a behemoth, it's Siba. The Torah mentioned the Simonim. Even Rabbi Shimon, he only said it by a behemoth. Being that it's Siba, at the end of the day, you have an animal that's Kolot, there's no way it could be a kosher animal. But by oath, where it's only a Simon, even Rabbi Shimon is going to agree that the equivalent thereof of a kolot bimei para in the context of birds is going to be kosher either way. Zok the Mishnah Vayter. So again, we're going me'inyan le'inyan ba'isa inyan here in Perek Behema Makasha, discussing different halachas of a behema with an uber. We saw it in the context of shechita, in the context of bechar, in the context of Tumah Neveila, and now we're going to digress even further and discuss it in the context of human beings, a human fetus. Zok de Mishnah, Isha Shemeis Vlad, B'teich Me'yeh, a woman who, Lo'yoleinu, had a Vlad that died inside her womb. U'pashtachai Yasiyada, and the midwife stuck her hand inside the womb of the mother, V'nagabai, and touched the child. The halach is achaya tmeya tumas shiva. She's tummy tumas meis, because at the end of the day, this uber is considered a life. Thus, it has tumas meis, adam kiyamus ba'oil, and she's going to be tummy tumas shiva with the para aduma and the whole seida tahira of an ordinary tumas meis. For Isha, the mother, tahira achi yetzavad, she remains tummy despite the fact that she has this vlad that's tummy inside her womb. She remains tar until the vlad is born. We'll see about that in tomorrow's daf. Either way, zokta gemar amar rab. Kshem shetumah blua ena metama, kach tahira blua ena metama. Rabbi said two chedushim. The first chedush he said was is that tumah blua is not metama. We know that if somebody comes in contact with a dover tummy, it's what's known as maga, tumas maga. Someone comes in contact with a dover tummy, he becomes tummy. Stating that, Rabbi saying a chiddush, that if the tumah is balua, it's swallowed, it's absorbed in something else, at the time that one came in contact with the tumah, he's not going to be tummy. Tumah that's balua, ain't a metama. The same is true, said Rabbi, with regards to taira balua. If something that's tahar is in a state of balua, and it comes in contact with tamei, being that the dover tahar is balua, it has no way of becoming tamei. And he said it as a kishem. Kishem shetumah balua in matamas. If that's something we know, so too, kach taira balua in matamas. Look at the Gemara. Tumah balua minol. How did Rabbi know this? How do you know that tumah that's in a state of balua does not have the ability to be matamas? The chesiv is from the following pasuk. It says, va'ichol min evlasa, that if somebody eats nevela, he becomes tameh. He has to wait until the night. He has to wash his clothing. But as soon as the sun sets, he's going to be tar. Said Rabbi, how do you know that this person didn't eat samach l'shkiyas acham? I mean, the pasuk doesn't say that that's not what happened. Certainly could have happened. And the kamer achmar tar, and so the Torah says he's tar. Why is he tar? If this person eats 5 minutes before shkia, and now he goes to the mikvah, is it so pasha that he should be tahar? He has the nevela, which hasn't been digested yet. It's still inside his body. So why isn't the nevela that's inside his body metame him? Tumas maga. He's in contact with it. Oh, must be, because it's tumah balua. That's why. Once it's balua, it's not metame. So thus, all you need to do is yichabes begadav. Just follow the prescription of the Torah of how you become tahar, and then it's all good. But you see from there that tumah balua is not metame. Because if tumah balua is metame, then l'chayra, this yichabes begadav shouldn't work for someone that ate samach l'shkia. Yeah, if you ate 6 hours ago, the food's digested. You know, it's maybe out of your body already. At that point, you don't have to worry about it. But mi lo yaskinan, says the Gemara, who says we're not talking about where you ate samach l'shkia? And still it sounds like you're tahar. Says the Gemara, how do you know that's true? You're telling me you have a big kasha. If somebody eats samach l'shkiyas achama, he should be tame. I'll tell you the answer. The answer is very simple. Because there's a rule that the only time nevela is metama is if it's roi l'achilas ger. The Torah says, what do you do with the nevela? So one place it says you give it to the ger, another place it says you give it to a dog. But the point is, we learn from here, one mandamer anyways, it has to be roi l'achilas ger. And if it's not roi l'achilas ger, it's not metama. Also, it's very good. This is not roi l'achilas ger. Once you swallow food,
Even a ger is not going to eat it. So the Gemara says, as in a ger toishok, that says that it doesn't have to be roi lachilas ger in order to be metamo, but rather it has to be roi lachilas kelev. So now already you're tiny good, because it is roi lachilas kelev. A dog would eat it. A dog would eat digested food. So being that a dog would eat it, it's technically in a state where it could be metamo. Frank's da akasha, why then is it not metamo? Milo yoskino, and that it was sabach lashkir is a chamad, it must be that it's tumma blu. Elam ha-pada dama tumma chamur legev tumma kala ha kelev. So the kasha is, but according to Bar-Pada, who holds that tumma chamur, as it relates to tumas adam, it has to be roi lachilas ger. Once it's not roi lachilas ger, even if it is roi lachilas kelev, the aloch is it's not metamo. Mishum de loichazi leger. Maybe the reason it's not metam is not because it's tumah b'lua, but rather because it's loichazi leger. So the Gemara says nehi de loichazi b'fanav, shloi b'fanav mizicha. It's not true. Who said that because the person swallowed the food that it's not roi leger? Now it's true. If he sees you spit the food up, he probably won't eat it. But at the same time, maybe if you put it on a plate, you blindfolded him and put a gun to it. No, I mean, you did it in a way where he doesn't realize what he's eating. Then at that point, l'chura, he would eat it. What's the point? The point is, once a person digests food, even shaloi b'fanav, it's not roi l'achilas ger. But maybe the case is where the person ate it a second before. He literally just put it in his mouth. He swallowed it, and he has to cough it up. And then maybe somebody would eat it, as long as he's not looking at it, and he doesn't see where it came from, there's a good chance he would eat it. Meaning, milo yaskinon, that's, how do you know that's not what the Torah is? The Torah said, any time a person eats nevelo, during the day, meaning before shkia, then the sun sets, as long as he went, yichavis begadav, it's going to be fine. Even if he ate it a second earlier, or a minute earlier, it's possible that it's still roi l'achilas ger in that short period of time. You could just cough it up and maybe a ger would eat it, albeit if he doesn't look at it, but at least it would taste okay. You wouldn't chop that it's something that he shouldn't be eating, and still you see that it's not a problem. Why not? Why is there no tumas mag? It must be, says the Gemara, because it's tumah balua. Either way. So that's how Rabbi knew the halacha that tumah balua is ainu matama. Ashkechon tumah balua, tayra balua minolan. Rabbi continued. He said, Geshem, she tumah balua ainu matama, kach tayra balua ainu matama. That so too, if something is tahar and it's in a state of balua, it can't contract. You know, how do you know that? Kal v'chem. Ma, kli cheres, hamukum tzamit pasul, she'ne matzala, tumah shabasaychem ulatama, madacha kli cheres, that's field that has tumma inside of it, and it's in an oil ames now. Okay, so you have a dover tumme. It's inside a sealed klicheres, and what's the dover tumme in the klicheres? Let's say it's a little bit of basar ames, and it's in an oil now with somebody else. The halacha is the person's going to be tumme tumas oil because he's in the same oil as the mace. What do you mean? The mace is inside a klicheres. It's sealed. Doesn't matter. The amamar tumme ritzutza bekasvay la'adurakia. The halacha is it's la'adurakia. Stating that same klicheres that's sealed is matzal al tayra shebetoichem l'tamo. If you would have a dover tahar inside a sealed klicheres and it would be in the same oil as a mace, the dover tahar would have become tumme. So you see that the sealed klicheres could protect the dover tahar from becoming tame, but it can't protect a dover tame from being metama. So adam shematzla tuma shabataychay milatama. So a person who swallows tuma, where we say that the person could be matzel the dover tame from being metama, not like the klicheres. It could be matzel. Tuma balua is not matama. Anyway, didn't shematzel al tayr shabataychay milatama? Then certainly it should be able to be matzel on the dover tahar from being metama. So it's a kalvachomer. What's the kalvachomer from klicheres? By klicheres, you see that it's easier to be matzel on a dover tar from becoming tame than it is from a dover tame being metame. So kalvachomer by Adam. That Adam, where the person could be matzel the dover tamer from being metame, kavachayim, it should be matzel the dover tar from being able to become tame. But the Gemara says, how could you learn Adam from klicheres? Klicheres in a way is more chomer than Adam. Mali klicheres shekinei metame begabe. Klicheres doesn't have an ability to be metame from the outside. One of the chidushim of a klicheres is kol hashe besoicha yitma. Only what falls inside the walls of the klicheres becomes tame. But anything that touches the outside doesn't. By an adam, it's not that way. So you see that adam is more chomer. So just because a klicheres sealed protects a dover tar from becoming tame, doesn't mean an adam could protect a dover tar from becoming tame. Tamer b'adam shem tame migabe, but the Gemara says, otu anam migabe karmina, we're not talking about migabe. This whole conversation is not about being metame from the outside. Mitoichai karmina. We're discussing mitoichai. A person who swallowed a dover tar. A person who swallowed a dover tame. A klicheres that has
a davar tar or a davar tami sealed inside of it. And when you're dealing with mitoichai, it's adarab, it's just the opposite. Klicheres chomer. Klicheres is more chomer. Shechem metame me'aviroi. Because you see, a klicheres could be metaver even if something's in the aver of the klicheres that you don't have by an adam. Adam would have to at least eat it or swallow it. But the point is if that's the case, so kal v'chomer from klicheres, I know that Tuma Balua is not Tommy. How do I know Tyra Balua can't become Tommy? That I know Kalvachomer from Kli Cher. It says the Gemara Ashkecham Balua de la Mailo, Balua de la Mata Minolan. The Makar that we have that Tuma Balua is not Tommy is if a person swallowed a Dabar Tommy. What if somebody would have Tuma Balua inside his guf, but he didn't put the Dabar Tommy in his guf? Kedarka, he put it shaloi kedarka. He didn't put it in his mouth. But Rashi said he put it derech piv milamato, derech beis harei, until it became absorbed inside his body. How do you know that even in that case, it's going to be considered tumah balua and it's not going to be tameh? Says the Gemara, kal v'chaymer malam ha'ilasheinu oisei ikul matzah, madach, the upper part of a person's body that doesn't digest food, is considered balua to the point that it doesn't allow the davar tamei to now be metamo. So lemato sha'ose equal the bottom part of a person's body that is ose equal in it in shamatzel certainly should be able to protect. But the Gemara says klum ose equal lemata elal yedei maila. If a person puts something in his base harei, nothing is going to be digested. Even if the digestion takes part in the lower part of a person's body, but at the same time, it's only if it goes in derech maila. So what does that mean if you put it in shaloi kedarka, that would somehow be more of a svara that it should be tuma balua because it's oisa ikol. If you do it that way, it's not oisa ikol. The Gemara says, afilo hachi ikol de lamaita rav. It's true, but at the end of the day, the lower part of the body, the Gemara understood is where the ikol takes place, and as a result, it's more mistaber that you should have the halach of tuma balua if the balia is in the base harei of the person than if it came in through his mouth. Says the Gemara, ashkecham balua de ona balua de behemim inol. Okay, so we found the makar now that you have the halach of tuma balua by another. Where do you find tuma balua by a behema? Right? What's the makar? The makar was from a person that ate from an avela, yichabis begadav, even though it could be he didn't even digest the food yet, and still that lach is he's going to be tar. Why is he tar? Why isn't the avela that's inside of him a tamim? The terence is that it's a tuma balua. So that's all for an adam. How do you know for a behema? So the Gemara says kal v'chaymer ma adam shem etamim mechayim matzav balua madach, a person who has a chumran hilchas tuma, a person while he's alive could become tame. Of course, behema she'inim etamim mechayim, but a behema that can never become tame while it's alive. When it dies, then it's tumas nevel. But while it's alive, it's not tame. Einu din shetatzav balua. So madach adam that's more chumer in the laws of tuma. When it swallows food, it's considered tuma balua and it doesn't become tame. Behema certainly, but the Gemara says, "Malo Adam shekein tzarich shiva beis hamenuga." You're telling me that Adam is more chomer than behema? I'll find you a chumer that behema has over Adam. How so? A person that walks into a house that's a beis hamenuga, that's a mitzayra. So the halach is he becomes tame right away. Stating that his kalim, there are things that don't become tummy right away. He needs she'iyah. He has to be there for a certain period of time in order for those things to become tummy. As opposed to a behema walks into a beis hamenuga, in a second he becomes tummy. See, you see a chumra in behema over Adam. Adam, sometimes, tumas beis hamenuga requires she'iyah. You have to be there for a certain period of time. By behema, you don't find that halacha. Says the Gemara, that's not a kasha. Why not? Behema, that enters the beis hamenuga, my hilchah. Where's the negate halacha? The behema that enters the beis hamenuga becomes tummy right away, and you don't even need she'iyah. It's negate l'keil mashal gaba. It's negeya if he had kalim on it. So if there were kalim sitting on top of the behemoth, the kalim become tummy right away. That's where it's negeya. Adam nami loy bahi. In that exact case, an Adam who has kalim on him wouldn't either need shia. It would become tummy right away. This Tanan, it's a Mishnah. We should all know this. Negam perikud gimel. Mishnah text. Nichnas the beis hamenuga v'kalim. Say if somebody enters a beis hamenuga and he had kalim on his shoulders, v'sandal v'tab eisav yadav, and he was holding shoes, he was holding rings. Who v'hengt me'em biyad? He and the things he's holding on his shoulders, his everything is tummy right away. Says the Gemara, if however ha'yo lavush kalim, if he was wearing his clothing, v'sandal v'raglav, and his shoes were on his feet, the tabois of that spy, and his rings were on his fingers, who tame mea, he becomes tame right away, the ain't tahirin, and they're tar, achi yisha, b'kdei achilas pras, until he waits. How long does he have to wait? The amount of time it takes to eat a pras, which is a half a loaf of bread, pas chitin, bread made out of wheat, v'loi pas sayrin, not made out of barley, mace of eichav lifton, also sitting down, b'haseva, shaynahai, but the point, with a dip, but the point is that this chumrah that ostensibly we found by behema based on manuga is not a chumrah. Because what's the chumrah? That miyad, if a behema has kelim matabla, it becomes tummy by adam, it also becomes tummy miyad. The only time you need shia by an adam is if he's wearing it, which by behema is not negay anyways. But the point is, is that you don't have any chumrah in behema over adam, you have a chumrah of adam over behema. So if there's a kula of tumah balur when it comes to adam, certainly there's going to be a kula when it comes to behema as well. Either way, the Gemara is going to pick up on this note in tomorrow's daf. But just to recap what we just said, and that is, there's a chiddush of tumah balur. This was Rabbi's chiddush. And kashem shetumah balua in matama, kach taira balua in matama. How do you know tumah balua? It's learned out from Tumas Nevela. The Torah says if you eat Nevela, all you have to do is toivel yichabes begodim and you're done. What make a tasty? What if a person ate the Nevela right before Shkia? Maybe he should have to wait till he digests the food, goes to the bathroom, the food's not in his body anymore. So you see that once it's balua at that point, it doesn't bother me. Okay, that's how you know tumah balua is not matama. How do you know taira balua is ain't matar? So Rabbi says that I know from a kal v'chomer. Because from Klicheres I see that it's easier to protect from becoming Tameh than it is to protect Tumah from being Matamah. So if Tumah Balu is not Matamah, then Tyre Balu certainly doesn't become Tameh. Okay, so now I know Tumah Balu, Tyre Balu, as it relates to an Adam. How about with regards to a Behema? Kal v'chomer. Adam is more Chomer in the laws of Tumah than Behema is. How so? Because Adam could become Tameh even while it's alive. Behema can't become Tameh while it's alive. So if you have Tumah Balu by an Adam, certainly you're going to have the Kula of Tumah Balu as it relates to a Behema excess. So just to end with a little bit of raid. So really the theme of Perek Behema Makasha started with the laws of Shechita, we all learn in Masech Teshuvah, and it spoke about a behema, hamakasha, leleid, and there's an uber inside, yeshechta the mother, what's the halacha with regards to the uber? We then digressed to a behema that's makasha, leleid, about to give birth to its first child, different laws of Bechaira. Then we discussed a behema that had a fetus inside of it with a fetus died. Now we're discussing an Isha that has a fetus inside of it that just died. And the Gemara is going to continue, Be'ez Hashem, through the end of the week and into next week discussing different halachas. I just think it's kedai to speak about something that, although it's not mamish the sugya that we're learning, but just to go with the theme of the Gemara, digressing from our digression, and that is me'inyan le'inyan ba'isa inyan. Whether an uber is considered a life as it relates to, is it okay to sometimes kill, Rahman al-Utslan, an uber or not? Also known as abortion. So abortion in halacha, how exactly is that viewed? And really, the shaila begins with a Mishnah, Mesechtes Nida, Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. The Mishnah over there says as follows, Tinaik ben Yoy Mechad, when a child is born, even if it's only one day old, there's a whole Shulchan Aruch, Metame Beziva, Umetame Benegoyim, Umetame Betame Meis, Vezoikek Liyibum, Upoitame Nayibum, Umeichel Betruma, Upoisel Esatruma, Venoichel Umanchel, a lot of Lomdisha Halachis, Vehahar Goy Chayev, if somebody kills this Tinaik ben Yoy Mechad, he's going to be chayev misa. Vareu la'aviv uli'ima u'lechol krovav kechasin shalem. Tosfos throughout Shas is medayik in the Mishnah that it sounds like the only time someone's chayev misa for killing a child is if he's a tinoik, albeit a yoy mechad. But let's say he's not a tinoik yoy mechad. Let's say he was an uber. It sounds like there would be no problem. What does the Mishnah say? A tinoik ben yoy mechad. This halacha, that halacha, metam meziva, metam benegam, leichol manchol yevamis. And if somebody kills him, chayev, he's going to be chayev. Why only if he's a tinik ben yoy mechad? It sounds like, says Tosfos, that if it'd be an uber, there would be no halacha. Tosfos asks a kasha from a Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin daf nun zayin amidbeis. The Gemara there says, Ashkach Rabbi Yaakov Baracha davakosiv b'sefer agadah to the Bei Rav. So Rabbi Yaakov Baracha found this pamphlet, this sefer. It was called Agadah to the Bei Rav, and he found the following halachas: Ben noyach nerek b'dayin echad. We know that a person, a yid, is not chayv misas bezdin, unless a bezdin shall chav gimel, a Sanhedrin katana, paskin that this person's chayv misa. Stating that a ben noyach, who's chayv misas bezdin, for violating one of the shivim mitzvahs ben noyach, a dayan echad can already kill him. Ube eid echad, you don't even need to aid him. Vishaloi basra, he doesn't need hasra. Mi ish, v'loi mi pi isha, v'afilu ka, mishum rabbi Yishmael amru. Another thing that it said in this sefer Agadah to Beirav, it said in the name of Rabbi Yishmael, afalo that even if a ben noyach kills an uber, he's going to be chayiv misas bez. Says Tosfos that I have a mishnah over here, Masechtas Nida, Daf Mem Dalem and Aleph, which seems to be meduyik that only a tinoik ben yoy mechad ha-horgay chayiv. But for an uber, you're not going to be chayiv. I have a gemara, Masechtas Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, that says mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru, u ben noyach is nerag afal ha-ubar. One of the seven mitzvahs b'nei noyach is shvichas davim. And if a ben noyach kills an uber, he's going to be chayiv mises bezdin. Says Tosfos, so at first glance, it seems that a ben noyach is more chomer than a yid. A yid is only chayiv misa if he kills a tinoik ben yoy mechot, whereas a ben noyach is chayiv even if he kills an uber. But Frank Tosfos gevalt, how could that be? We know that throughout Shas, the Gemara says, mi ikum midi, is it possible to have something that the Yisrael shari ula evik echad amaser? We know that's not possible. The yid's status is always more chomer than the guy's. So if a guy is chayiv misa for killing an uber, mishum rabbi shmol amru afal ubarim, how is it possible, Frank Tosfos, that the Mishnah says that only a tinuk ben yoy mechad ahar goy chayiv, which clearly implies that for an uber, there's not going to be a chayiv misa's bezlin. Tosfos in Masechtas Chulin, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, asks this kasha, and Tosfos says a one-line answer. So how does it reconcile with the rule of Mi'ikamidi? Says Tosfos, Nehi the Potter. It's true. It's Meduyik in the Mishnah Masechtas Nida that a yid that kills an uber is going to be Potter. He's not going to be Chayv Mises Bezen. Mikomachim Leshari. But at the same time, it's not Mutter. Mi'ikamidi means you can't have something that's usher to a ben noyach, that's mutter to a yid. It's not mutter to a yid. What was the diyek? The Mishnah says, tinek ben yoy mechad, hahar goy chayev. Clearly implying that an uber, if somebody kills, hahar goy is ene chayev. It's true, he's not chayev misa, but doesn't mean it's mutter. It's still going to be asur. So it says, Tosfos, it's true, nehi de pater. Great diyek. But at the same time, yikomagam loy shari. Nobody says it's mutter, it's going to be asur. Thus, it's not a problem of miyakimidi. So it seemed very clear. We have a Tosfos in Masechet Chulin, daf lamed, Gimel Amud Aleph, where Tosfos says, based on the principle of Mi'ikamidi, that even though at first glance it would appear that it is okay, that it's not usur for a yid to kill an ober, a ben noyach, but not a yid, but says Tosfos can't be, because there's a rule of Mi'ikamidi Yisrael Shari Levi Kechav Masr, so it must be that although from the Mishnah you see that a person is not chayiv misa for killing an ober, but at the same time there is no question that it's going to be usur. The truth is, it's mefurish in the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchas Reitzeach Shmiras HaNefesh, Perek Aleph, Halacha Tes, says as follows. The Rambam is discussing the laws of Reidev. So if Reuven is trying to kill Shimon, Shimon's allowed to turn around and kill Reuven. In fact, anybody's allowed to kill Reuven. Reidev Chaver Lahargoy, anybody's allowed to kill. Says the Rambam, the Ficha Chayru Chacham is based on this. I'm going to tell you another halacha. Sheho Ubra Shehi Mekasha Leleid. It's not a behema Mekasha Leleid. But Ubra Shehi Mekasha Leleid. This is a woman who is in labor. She's about to have a baby. And the doctors realize that this is going to be a very challenging labor. And if she follows through with it, there's a chance that she's going to die. Mutter lach loy uber b'meyel. It's okay to cut and to kill the uber b'meyel. Bein b'sam, bein b'yad. And the reason is, because if the uber is threatening the life of the mother, we look at the uber as being a roidev. And if the uber is a roidev, then it's like any other roidev, you're allowed to kill. Stating that, says the Rambam, and this is the punchline that we need. But once the head of the uber emerges from the mother, why the head? That's the Mishnah, behema makasha lele. Because when the head emerges, it's considered kiyalud. At that point, ein noigim boy. You're not allowed to touch the uber. And even if the uber is still threatening the life of the mother, it doesn't matter. She'ein doichin nefesh mipnei nefesh. Because at this point, my chazis, how do you know that the uber is threatening the mother's life more than the mother's threatening the uber's life? V'zeh tivay shalaylam. It's not clear what the Rambam means when he says that. But v'zeh tivay shalaylam, I am b'kasa Mishnah. But at this point, says the Rambam, once the baby's born, oh, now it's a whole different story. Now it's my chazas. Now you don't look at the uber being a roidif to the mother any more than the mother being a roidif to... So again, there's a lot in this Rambam. But the point, says the Rambam, is that if a woman is mekasha lele, she didn't give birth yet. This is a very challenging pregnancy, a very challenging labor. At that point, says the Rambam, if the doctors say that they believe that the uber is threatening the life of the mother, you're allowed to kill the uber. Mutter lach loicha uber meyeh, bein besan, bein beyat, mepneshu keroidef acharei laharga. But misha haitzi roishai ein noyibai, shein doich nefesh mepnei nefesh. So it's clear in the Rambam that once the mother gives birth, of course you're not allowed to touch the baby. It's already, it's considered kiyala, but when it's inside the womb of the mother, so then you're allowed to. But why are you allowed to? Why are you allowed to? Only because we look at it as a roidev. Look at it as a roidev. Maybe you're allowed to because you're allowed to. Why should it be Osir? Isn't that the Deik in the Mishnah Nida Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah says that Vahargei Chayiv, that's only a Tinuk Ben Yomechad, it's Mavur in the Rambam, that the Rambam held that even an Uber is considered a Nefesh. It's just that it's not the same as once it's born, and we look at it therefore as being a Roideif, and thus the Halach is you're allowed to kill it the way same as you're always allowed to kill a Roideif. But it's Normet Ashtikal Torah, Ashtikal Torah and Roideif. But without the piece of Roideif, you wouldn't be allowed to kill the Uber. It would be us. Why is it Osir? Teretz is like Tosfos. Even though Nehida Potter, it's true, it's clear. The Mishnah Nida says you're not Chayav until it's a Tinik Ben Yamecha. But at the same time, it's going to be awesome. The Chavis Yoyer, in one of his most famous tshuvas, it's in Simel Amid Aleph, was asked a Shaila by a Shoyel. The story was as follows. There was a Eshes Ish, a married woman that was Mezana. And after this Nus, Nischarta. She had terrible charata. V'nosna koila bebechi. And she cried. Gam yoim gam laila. Al titni puga bas eina. She didn't stop crying, not during the day, not at night. Rak hoirida kin nachal dima. Very poetic. Her tears were streaming, literally like a nachal. V'hiticha roisha bekoisel. And she literally was banging her head against the wall. Ad ki zoiv dama mi roisha. To the point where not only were tears flowing from her eyes, but blood was flowing from her forehead. She told her husband what happened. She even sat down with a chacham so that he should work out tshuva for her. She said, whatever you tell me to, doesn't matter what it is, I'm prepared to do it. Rak, what happened afterwards? A little time passed, and she realized that she might be pregnant. Because from the time that this happened, pasak vesta, she stopped having a vest. Asha hayula timidim kisidron, which used to come very timely. And then she realized she had a much bigger problem. So hochel chacham, she went to the chacham. V'shalo im rashos ligmaya. Dover me afgas ruchel. Is it okay for her to swallow something? L'shalshol zera hamakula l'asher kilber, to kill the child that's inside of her. This rav got this shayla. He sent it to the Chavis Yar, the poysa gadar, who bikashta daiti mizeh. Says the Chavis Yar. First of all, you give a very nice preface to this story. There's a woman that's pregnant, she wants to abort the child. And the preface is that she was an Eshes Ish, that was Mezana. He says, I don't know what that has to do with the Shiloh. He says, don't do anything. Doesn't matter if she's an Eshes Ish, that's Mezana, or if she's a Pnuya, or if this was something that happened with her husband. It's irrelevant. At the end of the day, the Shiloh is the Shiloh. He said, if you meant that being that she's an Eshes Ish, that was Mezana, her child is a mamzer, and because the child is a mamzer, maybe we don't value the life of a mamzer the same way we value the life of a regular yid. Chas v'shalom, sharei loy neflesim imcha. And he says, I'm sure, the shayl, I'm sure you know this. The din mamzer l'chol dover k'din Yisrael kosher. V'royis li'ay dayin ha'godo b'chutz la'aretz. A mamzer could be the greatest dayan. Chutzlars. Raksha also loving Bekabalash of Sanhedrin. He just can't come to the Sanhedrin. Varshaninu Hiriyas Dafyu Gimel. That when it comes to being Paida, Pidyan Shvuyim, Mamzer Talmud Chacham, everyone knows this, is Kaidim Lukayim Gadol Amaretz. Mamzer that's a Talmud Chacham is more Chashav than the Kayim Gadol if he's an Amaretz. Rak, he says, the only time you find something about a Mamzer is that the Maril writes, She'im Evakshin Olav Rachamim. That when it comes to a Brismil of a Mamzer, you don't say Kayim Esayel Adazel Olav Evulim. That you don't say. You don't say Kayim Esayel Adazel, because we don't want to be Marba Kayim Esayel Adazel. Either way, that's the only thing you find anywhere. And then he quotes Rabbeinu Tam and Gittin Daf Memal. Very, very small nafkuminas that relates to a mamzer. So he says, I'm not sure why you needed this whole story. Says the Chavis Yoyer, stating that the shayla is a shayla, and we have to sit down and we have to work it out. So he said like this, my first glance was, really, you want to know, is killing a uber, is that considered shvichas damim, or is it not shvichas damim? So he says, this was my first glance. I thought maybe we should take a look and ask ourselves, is it 40 days from when she became pregnant or not? Because the Gemara says in Masechtas Nida Daf Lamed and in Krisas Daf Zayin that the first 40 days, a fetus is treated as maya ba'alma. So if it's not really considered a human life yet, then maybe at that point, it's going to be okay. He said, another thought I had was that maybe it depends on which trimester we're in. The first trimester, it's like hooker or uber. You can't really tell that the woman is pregnant. So maybe during the first trimester, it's less chomer. But once we get into the second and the third trimester, I think at that point, it should be more chomer. But says the Chavis Yar, these are all nice svaras. But mikamakam ein zeh mevukshenu, lodun midas noita, visvaras hakeras. Translation, Svaras HaKeres. We know what a Keres is. We just learned Eilu Dreyfus. Boich Svaras. It's all very nice, but at the end of the day, these are stomach Svaras, right? These are rumen Svaras. These are Boich Svaras. This is not what we're going to do. Rak Alpidin Torah. We have to go through this Alpidin Torah. So as it relates to Alpidin Torah, comes again to Chavis Yor, and he wrote a tshuva, and he came out at the end, V'omnam, Perek Beis V'chul, and Daflamid Gimel Kosva, Taisis B'pshitos, Ami Yekamidi, V'avagav Demen Oyech Nerek, Al Ubrim Yisrael, and Nerek, Nehida Potter, Mikol Malkam Shari. And then he quotes another time, but the bottom line is that he said that it's Osir, and he based it primarily on the Taisis that we spoke out, Taisis Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph. Then he gets involved in the Hitzah Zera Levatola component, because if you're going to abort the child, it's going to come out of Mafreya, that for sure there's an Hitzah Zera Levatola issue. He discusses that in the Tshuva as well. Either way, a classic, famous, from the most famous Tshuvas in Chavis Yor, it's in Shalos Tshuvas Chavis Yor, Simen Lamed Aleph. Yaakov Emden, in Shelas Yaivitz, Tshuva Mem Gimel brings this Tshuva from the Chavis Yor. And he begins as follows. He says that the Chavis Yor told the Shoyl, he said, I don't know why it was Negeya for you to tell me the whole background, the whole history of the story. Right? You know, it wasn't necessary. Like, what's the point? Why does it matter if she was an HSH that was Mizana, or this is any woman that wants to abort the child? Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden that I think the Chavis Yor made a choice. I think he didn't really understand the Shaila. And in fact, the whole, to me, the idea that she was an HSS that was Mazana makes a tremendous difference as it relates to the Tshuva. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, Shelas Chacham is Chatzi Tshuva. And I says that I think that in the Shaila, licked Ashtikah from the Tshuva. And that is as follows. He says, it's Pashi, you're not let abort the child. Taisus Chulun Daflamid Gimel. And he repeats a lot of the lumdis that the Chavis Yor spoke out in his Tshuva. It's Pashi, it's not even a question. He said, but this was a very unique case. This was a woman that was an HSH that was Mazana. What would have happened if this HSH would have been Mazana in the times of the Beis HaMikdash? If there were Edom and Asra, she would have been Chayv Misas Bezdin. Now if she had been Chayv Misas Bezdin, they would have killed her and the child. Why? What did the child do? Maybe wait until the child is born. So something called Inui Hadin. You don't allow someone to be on death row, you know, for 10 years. Not what we do. We try to kill the person immediately. And we're not going to even wait 6 months for her to give birth to a child before we kill her. So they would have killed it, some Furisha Gemara, together with her child. Chazal say that even though today there's no Beis HaMikdash and we don't have Mises Bezdin, but Din Arba Mises Bezdin like Batma. Misha Chayiv Skila, Misha Chayiv Saiv, Misha Chayiv Sreif, Gemara, many places in Shas. That means the concept of Arba Mises Bezdin still applies Bezman Hazeh. If that's the case, Rabbi Yaakov Emden a Chiddush Noira. And incidentally, this is one of the most famous Tshuvas in Shelos Yaivitz as well. And that is, if not the most famous, that it's being that Bizman Shabbat HaMikdash Chaim, this woman would have been Chayiv Mises Bezdin, we look at her as being Chayiv Mises Bezdin today. If she's Chayiv Mises Bezdin, because Din Arba Mises Bezdin, like Batnu, she's a Gavra Ketala. She's a Gavra Ketala. There's no Chayiv Misa for someone that kills a Gavra Ketala. If you kill a Gavra Ketala, you're not doing anything wrong. And if that's the case, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, there's no Shvichas Damim. Ordinarily, the Shvichas Damim. But this Uber is Chayiv Mises Bezdin. Because Bizman Shabbat HaMikdash Chaim, they would have killed the mother together with the Uber. And even though there's no Beis HaMikdash, but Din Arba Mises Bezdin like Batlu. Well, that's a big leap. But that's what Rabbi Yaakov Emden says. So if that's the case, and this is even a bigger leap, we look at the mother and the Uber as if they're Gavrois Ketolois, they are Chayiv Misa, they're dead people walking. And if that's the case, there's no Chayiv Misa. So if someone would kill them, they wouldn't be Chayiv. Then who Adin? If they kill themselves, they shouldn't be Chayiv either. And says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, Va'adu Rabba, Nirish is Chusula. I think it's a Chusfer to take her own life. And maybe the life of a child as well. The Kama Maisis Beshas and Medrash Echichu. There are many stories in Shas and Medrash that would seem to support that. She Sipru Mi Bali Tshuva, She Donu Din Arigav Atzman. Ve Kilsam She Zochu L'Chai Yoel Maba. Right, there's so many Gemaras. There was the Koyves, remember, who used to be in Rebbe's house every day. And the day Rebbe passed away, he wasn't there. And when Rebbe passed away, there was a Baskel that said, whoever was there Beshas P'tiras Eish Rebbe is Ben Oel Maba. Then the Koyves hears about it later. And then the Koyves jumps and he killed himself. He's like, I was there every single day. I didn't miss a day. And all of a sudden, the day that everyone's going to Eil Mabah, and the Baskel said he's Zeichel Chayil Mabah. There's many Gemaras where people killed themselves and they were even Zeichel Eil Mabah, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden. So you see that it's something that could sometimes be okay, specifically when it comes to Tshuva. So now he brings this right. Ashkafte the Rebbe Bahu Kaivis. But either way, see, he says it's poshit to him that not only is it okay, it could be it's even a good thing. What's the Seif Dover at the end of the Tshuva? Here's the final analysis of Rabbi Yaakov Emden. V'im kein lidvareinu, v'adei ba'alma.
Rotzoloima but Uber kosher isura ikala hashkasa uber. You're not allowed to kill a child, an uber. Chutzmi dinner shaila beishes isha kilkala. But as it relates to this married woman that was mazana, he gadati ayoim daiti akala shamutter. I'm telling you what I think, and that is that it's mutter. V'ulai korav l'schar. And it could be it's even a good thing. The loy kamash because of harav, the chuvas are now referring to the chavis yor. The loy nachis leflugi bein eishes leslikshera. I disagree. I think there's a very tremendous difference. Kach nirulani as daiti and shoymim lekaten abal lechavis daiti yavitz. He said this halacha lemaisa. This wasn't just a chuva. La halacha v'loy lemaisa. Yaakov Emden Paskin this way lemaisa, and he held that it's pasha like the chavis yor, like it's before in toisus and chulin daf lamin gimel lemanal, that it's not okay to abort the child, because even though the Mishnah says you don't have the halacha of a hargei chayim misa, but at the same time there's no question that it's not okay. Stating that as it relates to an eishes ish, there Rabbi Yaakov Emden said a chiddush that being that an eishes ish is chayim misa's bezin v'din arba misa's bezin like batlu, but could be over there it's going to be different. Rav Moshe Feinstein in a tshuva in Igros Moshe, and this is in Choshen Mishpat Chelik Beis, it's Simon Samech Tes. He brings the Shelos Yavetz. The entire tshuva is about abortion in halacha. And he says as follows, V'hinei b'Shelos Yavetz ro'isi dvorim shelo nitnu lehe'omer. He says, I saw things that you pasha can't even say over. And this whole idea that Eishas Ish, that's Mezana, has a din of a Gavra K'tala. And he says, where do you find such a thing? And therefore you're allowed to kill the child. He says, there's no such thing. He says, even in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, if somebody would have killed somebody, and he's in the process of being prosecuted, until there was a psak din from Bezdin, there was a gmar din that this person is going to be killed, he didn't have a din of a gavra k'tala. He has a din of a regular person. Because he's being tried now, and maybe we're going to find him guilty, even if the situation looks very, very bleak. There's nothing to talk about that this person would not be viewed as a gavra k'tala. So how is it possible that bizman hazeh, something like this could be true? And Rav Moshe is very mayrich, and he's very sharf about how he doesn't understand what Rav Yaakov Emden wrote. And he says at the end, v'shori le'more le'Rav Yaakov Emden al dvar of elu, ve'ein le'hashkiach al tshuvas ha'izu. He said, you shouldn't pay any attention to it. And then Rav Moshe said why he was being so sharp. He said, kozafti kol zeh le'inyan ha'pirtza ha'gedoy le'ba'olam. He says, the reason I'm writing this and the reason I'm being so dramatic about this tshuva is because unfortunately there was a pirtza gedoyla that happened in democratic countries and specifically in Eretz Yisrael. Now the context is, Rav Moshe wrote the tshuva in 1977. We know that in 1973, the Supreme Court issued one of its most famous and controversial decisions, and that is they legalized abortion in the United States of America, Roe versus Wade. So in 1970, it was a big tumult, and there was a pirtza gedoyla that Rav Moshe felt that we need to plug, we need to stop, because once it became okay, and it became something that was discussed, Yeshayim Rim Kach, says Rav Moshe, now I need to speak sharf. And even though Rabbi Yaakov Emden said it, and he was a gadol oilam, but at the same time, Rav Moshe felt ein lashkiach al tshuvas oizu, because he was worried in the context of the times, the 1970s, when this was an issue that was tumbling very, very seriously, we have to come down very, very seriously. And then Rav Moshe said that the truth is that another reason that I'm writing this tshuva, and I'm saying it as dramatically as I am, and you have to see it inside to realize the drama, is because I saw another tshuva from another gadol b'Yisrael, another poisik, where he said even a bigger chiddush than Rabbi Yaakov Emden. And that gadol is the Tzitz Eliezer, Rabbi Yehuda Eliezer Waldenberg. It was in the tshuva that he wrote to the head, the chief medical officer of Shari Tzedek Hospital in Yerushalayim. It's a tremendous chiddush. We're going to have to wait for tomorrow's daf to hear the chiddush. Additionally, we're going to have to wait for tomorrow's daf to understand. So what's going on here? If somebody aborts a child, says Taisvis, not Shvichas Damim, because that's a Mishnah Masechtas Nida. But at the same time, it's Aser. Is it Aser Midei Raisa? Is it Aser Midei Rabbanan? Does it fall into the halacha of Shvichas Damim that it's Yeharugu Val Yavar? Is it at least Abizrayu the Shvichas Damim? Is it like Sirtzach? Does it fall under the Ten Commandments? There's a lot to talk about. Mr. Hashem, we'll pick up part 2 in tomorrow's stuff.